Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And we got a couple of good friends back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. The father-son team of Jeff and Chad Kozer. And Jeff has been selling. He's like me. He's a gray hair. He's been around a while. He's been working in the marketplace for a few decades. And his son Chad is smarter than Jeff, but with a little less experience, and so they make a great team. Their book is called Selling to Zebras. Jeff and Chad Kozer, welcome back, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
It's never an insult to a father to say that your son is smarter than you, is it, Jeff?
That's a good point. No, it isn't.
I've got a couple of kids I'm proud of too, and they're both smarter than I am. Hey, okay, guys, one of the things you guys have been talking about lately is what you call the new normal, and a lot of people have been hearing about that. We got the new normal, and someone said 60 is the new 40. Have you heard that? Or and pink's the new black, and all that kind of stuff. And so now we got the new normal. I don't like the word normal. I guess I don't mind if other people use it. It's a word we don't use around here because there's nothing normal about anything that I do. But there are new things happening out there that seem to be settling in as being what we have right these days, don't they, Jeff?
That's true. I don't know if you, at least what I've read, the guy who actually coined that term is Jeff Immelt, the CEO of GE.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, as you know, the whole idea is that things are not going to go back to normal, which is your point. I mean, we've stretched the envelope and as it relates to sales, you've got to be a little bit better than you were before in order to sell anything, really.
Well, what I've told my audience for a couple of years now is that prior to 2000 to part, you know, halfway through 2008, that from there back, that was the way things were. And you guys may have heard me say that I considered 2009 to be a buffer year, almost a throwaway year, in terms of a standalone year, in terms of the way you did business, and was a buffer year between the way we used to do business and where I think where we're going, which is what you're talking about, the new normal. And I say on many levels, you know, we're entering a new age, and people might as well get used to that. If you're nostalgic for 2005, 6, or 7, you're probably not going to make it. If that's the world you require to live in, what do you think, Chad?
I think 2008, 2009, somewhere in that time frame was a good year to build a cocoon so that you could transform from a caterpillar into a butterfly in the future.
Yeah,
I mean that's the only way continue to survive is to transform your business and recognize that while it may have been a throwaway year in that everything was different, nobody seems to know where it's going, it's probably a good time to focus internally on figuring out where your strengths were,
right,
and figuring out where your market might be next. And while it's always a little bit of a guessing game, there's certainly value in taking the time to evaluate that, because that's where you're going to continue to be successful in the future. So I agree that it was a transitionary year, definitely.
Now the primary focus of your work, you two, is selling in the new normal. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, interestingly enough, we transformed our business during that same time frame,
mm-hmm.
and realized that we needed to adapt our messaging to be as successful as we had been in the past. And we recognize, you know, the new normal, I think, is a way to say that nothing is ever going to stay the same. And there really is no normal, but it's a way to make people feel that are comfortable with the term normal and that are comfortable living in the normal, the way to help them to realize that they're going to have to find a different way to feel that way.
You know, so, Jeff, one of the things that I've been saying for the last couple of years, that I think is a component of the new normal, and that is, it's okay to fall in love with what you do, but it's not okay to fall in love with how you do it.
Oh, that's good. That's a good point. That's like saying something is easy to understand but hard to do, right?
Right. So that's, to me, that's part of the selling thing. You know, you may still sell shoestrings, but you're going to sell them differently than you used to. People still want to buy shoestrings, but they're buying them differently than they used to, aren't they?
I think they are. In fact, you know, we borrowed from someone else that wrote a great book. Ram Charan wrote Leadership in the Era of Economic Uncertainty. And,
right.
And one of the things he said was that...
Jeff, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back to Jeff's point right after these messages. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Jeff and Chad Kozier are our guests. Stay with us. Little Robert Cray bringing us back. 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and that's our website too, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. No barrier to entry. We built it so you could get, if you get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff. You can listen, you can read, you can ask questions. Check out my blog. My newsletter is there. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email. But you have to tell us who you are. You have to give us your email address. We can't email it to you if you don't give us that. That's all we have to have. So check that out when you get a chance. I hope you'll subscribe. And if you don't like it, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. So that's all up to you. SmallBusinessAdvocate.com. And if you only have a few seconds, we got something you can do there in a few seconds. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Jeff and Chad Kozier, father-son team, are the authors of Selling to Zebras. We're talking about selling in the new normal. And, Jeff, I had to cut you off. You were telling us a story.
I was just sharing with you what Ram Charan had to say about selling today and business leaders today. And what he said, which resonated with me, was that businesses are, you have to be better to sell to businesses today, kind of like what we were talking about before.
Right.
Because business leaders are being forced to bracket all expenditures into one of three buckets. The first one is keep the lights on. Second one is compliance, and there's more of it, and there's probably going to be even more of it.
Right.
And the third one is the discretionary spend bucket, and because of the economy, there's just less of it.
Right.
So if you fall in one of the first two, it's easier to sell because they obviously need you just to keep the business going.
Right.
But most of us fall into the discretionary spend category, and because there's less of it, you've got to be better at identifying why they need you and what value you
can. And that's the new normal, folks, the nice-to-haves and the need-to-haves.
So in other words, we're not just competing against those with solutions similar to our own anymore.
Yeah.
We're competing with everybody else that falls into that discretionary bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. So how do we deal with that? Because, you know, one of the things that I've been saying, though, guys, is somebody's buying something that we sell from someone somewhere right now. How do we make sure we get our share in this new normal, Chad?
It's knowing where you fit. And like we've talked about on your show in the past, identifying where you've been successful in the past, you know, your success isn't necessarily mutually exclusive from your competitors. They may have situations where they fit better than you do, and those are the situations where they should win. And if you can recognize that early enough, you won't even stay involved in those sales cycles for any length of time or to any great extent of cost.
Right.
But it's more about identifying the types of customers, where you've been successful in the past, understanding what you've done for them that's created value for them, that's made you successful with them, and then going out and finding similar customers that are going to have similar business issues, and already knowing, because of what you've done for your customer in the past, how much value you can create for your future customers. Because if you can lead with that message of value,
mm-hmm.
it's a very professional way to approach them.
One of the things, Jeff, that I've been talking about for a year or so now is what I call the age of the customer. I've declared that we're on the threshold of what I call the age of the customer. And this is the age of the customer is very simple. The definition is very simple. The customer is in complete control of your relationship. In the old days, Jeff, when you and I were carrying a briefcase around, we were our customer's internet. We brought them the information they needed. Now they don't need us for that. They got the real internet. We were lucky. You know, if we wanted to know the people who were happy with our products, we told them about it, but we didn't want them to find out about the people who were unhappy with our stuff. Well, they can find all that out right now on the internet too, and they've always had control of the purchasing decision. So basically, the only way you can differentiate yourself these days, it seems to me, Jeff, is through the experience that you give that people have with you. What do you think about that?
Well, it's the age of transparency, which is another way of saying what you just said. Everything we do with our customers is very visible, and they, like you said, they find us. They're smarter. They know how to find the information that they need, and they usually seek us out in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to define what it is we do and who we do it for very crisply. They're not very patient.
Well, don't we need to, as you guys said, I think fairly correctly, the majority of us fit into that third bucket, the nice-to-have bucket, the discretionary thing. Don't we need to build a relationship with these customers so that even if our stuff is in the third bucket, the relationship is not. The relationship is more in a bucket that's sort of like, I don't want to do without these people.
Well, you do. And I think one of the ways that you do that is that you have to, even with your existing customer base, you have to go back and talk about the business problems you're still solving for them and demonstrate the value that they're getting. And it has to be quantifiable. Otherwise, you might get downsized or right-sized right out of their business, even though they're one of what you consider to be your better customers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you want to make sure, too, that before you engage in closing a deal with a customer, that after you get to that point where it's time to put up or shut up, make sure your solution is going to be effective once they purchase it, because it gives you the opportunity to become compelling like that and to stay involved with them in the future.
Another thing that I think that you have to do, and I think this is part of the new normal. You guys tell me what you think about this. Customers want to be interacted with differently today. You know, Jeff, in the old days, and we'll talk about this some more on the other side of this break, I want to talk about how people want to be connected with and how that's changing. And the generations are changing. Each generation has a little bit of a different channel that they want to be reached over. And we're going to get Jeff and Chad Kozer to talk to us about that. Their book is called Selling to Zebras. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Chad and Jeff Kozer are our guests. Father-son team, the authors of Selling to Zebras, How to Close 90% of the Business You Pursue Faster and More Easily and More Profitably as well. And that's the title of the book. And Chad, why don't you tell us how we can find you guys online and why we would want to go to your website?
Our website is the same as our book title, sellingtozebras.com. Everyone that visits our website has access to our tools that we use in our own consulting business for free. They're written about, and the usage of them is described in our book. Basically, we're trying to bring our message to the masses, and at the same time, we're trying to do our part in this tough economy, too. We know that everybody else is hurting. And,
right.
We want to make sure that that we contribute to the solution and not be part of the problem.
Well, we appreciate that. So, folks, check it out, sellingtozebras.com. They can find out more about the book and how to buy the book there, too, can't they?
Absolutely.
And the book is still available wherever books are sold, I'm sure.
You got it. Amazon.com, bookstores.
Check it out. Jeff and Chad Kozer, K-O-S-E-R. Jeff, as we went to the break, I was talking about channels. I was talking about one of the things that seems to me about the new normal is that people want to be reached differently. Some of the Gen X and Gen Y customers out there that we might do business with, whether it be business to consumer or business to business, Each one of them, each of those groups, it's not like 30 years ago when everybody, you know, got a fax or a phone call and or something in the mail, or you went to see them. You know, now they got, there's so many choices, Jeff, and if your customer wants to be reached by text or by IM or by, you know, over one of the social media sites, then that's how you're going to have to reach them, isn't it?
Well, it's true. I mean, they want to decide what to opt in and opt out of. I mean, I heard you say earlier that you're on Twitter, so you tweet.
Yep.
And they can choose to listen to you or not. You can connect on LinkedIn or Facebook or any of the other social media like you were describing. And it's customers do want to find you. They want to decide if they want you. They really don't want you to invasively push yourself on them today.
Right, exactly. And see, that's all part of the age of the customer, Chad, it seems to me, is that customers have choices. They don't want to be talked to. They want to be connected with. What are you finding out there, Chad?
Well, I think that's accurate. And I think one of the things we're starting to understand about social media, one of the values that it's providing, it was almost unforeseen, but my generation and younger seems to be using things like Twitter and Facebook to screen out a lot of the noise and to identify what really it is that they want to pursue beyond just receiving some type of spam email or something like that. You know, I would definitely say that email is regarded in a higher value, that if someone's got your email address, they should have something that is of definite interest to you. So we're starting to learn how to use these social media tools to deflect some of those things that had been spam in the past through those other channels.
Right.
The email regains the value that I think it once had.
But I have found, though, guys, that it's been beneficial to me when I meet someone, especially if they're, you know, 40 or under, that it's been beneficial to me and instructive for me to ask them, how do you prefer to be reached? And I get different answers.
You know what's interesting, Jim? One of our customers did some research, and I think the results might surprise you because it surprised me. They researched customers and how they, young and old, and they were asked if you had to give up these internet or Ethernet, if you will, mm-hmm. connections over the e-waves.
Right.
What would be the last one you would give up? And the last one they would give up is email.
Of course, yeah. No, it's the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it still is.
No, it is. It is. But I just know young kids, younger kids that you know, if you send them an email, you might hear back from them in a day or two. But if you send them a text, if depending on you know what they want, or a tweet, you'll get an answer in seconds.
I think asking them how they want to be contacted, like you were getting at, not only is it a respect thing, but it's also going to help you to be more effective in your communications with them.
And Jeff, you'd be surprised how much an old guy like me gets points for asking those questions. See, that's another thing. Hey, give us that website one more time.
It's www.sellingtozebras.com.
And that's also the book, folks. That's the title of the book. It's an outstanding one. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you about it. Hey, guys, Jeff, Chad, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
Again for having
Take
us.
Care of yourself. We'll do it again real soon. The new normal, ladies and gentlemen, is what we've been talking about. So go back and find out. Go find out what they got a whole. They're doing a lot of work on this on their website, too. So check that out there as well. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and Olympians from whatever nation they're from. All Olympians are our heroes, too, folks.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.